Yeah. What is your favorite alien?
My favorite alien? I watched this show revolving around aliens when I was young, and they looked like humans, and I have no idea what the name was, but I like that a lot.
Do you have a favorite alien?
Yes, I do, and this episode will be about telling you about this incredible movie franchise.
Great opening.
Thank you.
Okay, so you should probably clarify what the movie is.
Okay, so me and Parmita have a little series where we try and explain something one of us is very well-versed into the other one who doesn't know anything. So we did that with Wicked in High School Musical. So now we're here, two times in a row we're going to do it. So this movie is Avatar, the one with the blue people. And our next episode will have us do Avatar, but the one with the Fire Nation that attacks.
Yeah. So you should introduce the movie, I guess, because I don't really know anything about it. I didn't watch it.
Okay, so Avatar was released in 2009, and it's kind of like a science fiction, science fantasy film. And it's basically about, okay, so it's set in, like, the year 2100-something, and it kind of revolves around people having to escape our planet and go to this other planet called Pandora, which is this beautiful wildlife and this beautiful, like, landscape that is missing on Earth. And then there are these aliens there called the Na'vi who live there. And it's kind of about the conflict between the humans who are coming and kind of conquering, trying to conquer Pandora for its resources, and the Na'vi, the indigenous Na'vi who live there. So basically, it's the year 2154, and Earth has, it's like overpopulated. There's over 20 billion people on Earth, and there aren't enough resources, so everything is kind of dying. There's so much pollution, people can hardly breathe. Like, it's really, really bad. So what they're trying to do is the Resources Development Administration, the RDA, they go to Pandora to mine this, like, resource, this mineral called unobtainium. And that can be used as an energy supply, which Earth is obviously lacking in resources, right? And on Pandora, which is in the Alpha Centauri star system, they're basically traveling there to get all the unobtainium and send it back to Earth and then use it to further their conquests, right? So we talked about the Na'vi, one of these 10-foot, blue-skinned humanoids that live with nature. Like, they're very in tune with the environment, which is the very much opposite of the people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in particular, this movie, there's many different Na'vi clans, and they're all kind of developed this with their environment. So this one is the Ometic Kaya clan. It kind of focuses on their forest Na'vi. So they have, like, thin tails, and they're, like, a specific shade of blue to help them with the forest. But there's other Na'vi clans as well. There's the Metikayana. And in this, like, movie, they talk about them. They're, like, water Na'vi. So their tails are, like, wider to help them swim. And they can, like, they're, like, much more turquoise blue. So they're all very much built to their different environments. And something I thought was really interesting was that the environment on Pandora is very toxic to humans. You can't breathe in the air on Pandora. And the reason this is because the Pandora atmosphere contains nitrogen, oxygen, carbon dioxide, xenon, methane, ammonia, and hydrogen sulfide. So lastly, they're very harmful for humans, right? So they can't breathe it in. But the Na'vi, they have these specialized organs called huicho, which is similar to one's kidneys. And it helps them process the, like, much higher carbon dioxide, sorry, the much higher concentration of methane in the, and ammonia and hydrogen sulfide in the air. Whereas with humans, they can't. So in this world, the humans, they have to wear these special masks to help them breathe.
Oh, I see. And then they all suddenly made it? Like, did they know about the different atmosphere when they were coming along, and did they prepare the masks beforehand?
Yeah, so, like, in this movie, by the time, like, the movie is set, they've already gone to Pandora, like, many times. It's developed all this technology to help them live there. And to bring in something we learned from chemistry class, the Na'vi's blood pH is much more acidic than ours. It's about 5.25 to 5.75, while ours is, like, around 7, slightly above. So they have very acidic blood pH, if you were ever wondering.
Does that, like, contribute to something in the movie? Is it very important, or is it just...
It's just a fun fact.
Oh, that is very interesting.
But anyways, the humans and the Na'vi are in conflict because the RDA, they want to keep taking more and more unobtainium, and to do that, they kind of have to, like, obviously they're digging up the ground, so that's destroying a bunch of their homeland, but also they have to, like, chop off trees and destroy villages and stuff like that to get the Unobtainium under, and the Na'vi don't want them to do that. So they're always in combat and they're always fighting. And they're the RDA, they're not afraid of destroying whatever in their path. So that's a lot of problem with the Na'vi, because they're like, oh, this is our home, this is like our nature, we don't want any part of this. And then, basically what the RDA was doing was that they decided to make these Na'vi-human hybrids called avatars, hence the name.
Uh-huh. Okay.
If you couldn't guess.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell me what you think an avatar does, or how it works?
Okay, so they're hybrids of Na'vis and humans.
Yeah, they're technically supposed, they're very much like Na'vis, but they still have some human characteristics.
And the humans made them?
Yeah.
Like, artificial?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I'm guessing they have, like, the organs that are needed to survive on land, so they have, like, that aspect from the Na'vis, and so that's going to help them, but then they're, like, very humanistic, right? So they are, they're going to use them in their advantage? Is that,
I don't know. That's a good guess. What do you think they're used for?
Used for? Are they, like, a sort of communication between the human and Na'vis, maybe?
Yeah, kind of.
Like an intermediate?
Kind of. So basically, the scientists at the RDA, they basically mix the human DNA with the Na'vi DNA to make the avatar hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
And each avatar is made with a specific DNA. So this avatar, it can't be controlled by anyone else. If they're made with one DNA, they can only be controlled by the person, like, who gave their DNA.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense? So, like, if you have an avatar made for you, no one else can control your avatar.
So it's basically like your own offspring, but mixed in with some... Okay.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I see.
The way it works is that you have to lie down in this little link chamber.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it gets kind of funky, but you lie down in this little link chamber, and the machine, it takes your consciousness and it transports it to the avatar. So they're like in the RDA's like headquarters, and okay, to the RDA, they're like in a they're like in their headquarters, but the avatar body is like on the ground, you know. So they get in the headquarters, they get into a little chamber and they turn it on and they transport their consciousness to the avatar body. So now they're controlling the avatar body on the ground, but their human body is like, you know, like, it's just like, you know, subconscious kind of.
Wait, sorry, I have a question. Where is this avatar body coming from?
The scientists made it genetically in a lab.
Oh, so they could produce it now. Okay, I see.
But they are different from, like, actual Na'vi people. A couple of differences are the avatars, they have 5 fingers, like humans, but the Na'vi only have 4. And the avatars, they have eyebrows, but the Na'vis don't have eyebrows.
Hmm.
Also, the Na'vis, they have a lot of, I think, like, cat-like features, like, they have a tail, their noses and eyes are very similar to a cat. But the avatars, they have, like, smaller eyes, they have more human features, so you can kind of tell who is who.
Are the avatars also blue?
Yes.
And are they also 10 feet?
Yes. It's just, like, I guess, some more smaller things that are supposed to help the humans. Or maybe they weren't able to reproduce it exactly.
Mm.
But yeah, the purpose was to allow people to breathe in the atmosphere without the masks I was telling you about, and also because it would kind of help them relate more to them, as you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess there's some backstory on Pandora. Pandora is very beautiful. It's, have you seen like the,
I was gonna say, I went to Disney World and there was a specific like Na'vi river ride, and so we saw like the inside of it, and it was so pretty. Yeah, like, I never watched the movie, but, like, the atmosphere looks so nice. And they had, like, these, like, calming sounds as well to go along with it. But it just looked very nice overall.
That's lovely.
Yeah. And the food we tried, like, I think it was supposed to kind of replicate the food made in the movie. And that was also really good.
Wow.
Like, it was one of the highlights of the trip.
What did you get?
I forgot what we got. It was something kind of, I forgot. It was chicken, but in some kind of way. And there was also these moon bowls, I think. But yeah, it was very interesting. I think the whole Pandora atmosphere was very good.
That's very, very cool to see. You
should
show me pictures if you have any later.
Yeah.
But yeah, Pandora has a lot of bioluminescence. Mm-hmm. So the creatures are bioluminescent, the plants are bioluminescent, and it's very beautiful. And on Pandora, there's this vast neural network that the Na'vi and the other animals on the planet use to connect. So they have these, you know how they have braids?
Mm-hmm.
They have these tendrils at the end of their braids, and they can, like, connect it to animals, and it, like, helps them bond and control the animals.
Wow. That's very cool.
Yes, and this neural connection is, like, all over the planet, so they're all connected. And this connection is called Sahelu. Sahelu. And then I'll tell you a bit more about the Na'vi. I'm sorry, I'm giving you so much lore.
That's okay, it's very good.
Okay, so their, like, main center of their society is worshipping this being called Awa. And Awa is, like, the central life force. She's kind of, like, their all, like, their goddess in a way. Like, she's responsible for all of the connections and all the intertwined connections between living things.
Oh, okay. So that's where the name comes from. Like, Awa?
Awa.
Oh, Awa. I see.
And so they connect with her through the Tree of Souls or the Tree of Voices. What they do is that they go there and they connect their little tendrils to the tree tendrils that lets them talk to her and communicate with her. But also it allows you to connect with other living things. So for example, you have special horses and you get on the horse and you connect your tendril to the horse's tendril and it lets you ride it.
Oh.
They also have these like flying dragon things called Ikran, and these ones you have to like fight like to bond with it, and once you bond with it with your little tendril thing, you're bonded forever and they'll like bond to no one else.
That's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Are they big?
They're very big, and they try to kill you when you first meet them. That's how you know like they want you. And then also in their society, the Olo'ik'tan is like the leader of the clan, and the Sahik is like the spiritual leader, and usually they're mates, so usually they're together. And yeah, that's the lore before we get into the movie.
I'm trying to say this is very like well thought out, the lore of the movie.
I agree. I think James Gunn spent a lot of time plotting out how everything would work.
Well, I've heard like it's had a very large impact, so it makes sense. Like, it has all this lore behind it.
So to start off, basically, the main character is this guy named Jake Sully, and he's in a wheelchair, and he's an ex-Marine, and basically, his twin, he was part of, like, the scientist's plan, like, the Avatar project, and he was, but the twin ends up dying.
Oh.
And so now, the Avatar doesn't have anyone to control it. So they decided to get him in because he has identical DNA to his twin. So he's the only one who can control the Avatar.
Oh, so your relative, like your twins can.
Yeah, and the Avatar is just so expensive and it took so long to form that they didn't want to waste it. So that's why they're like, okay, I guess we'll take you, even though you have no experience and you don't really know what's going on.
I really have a question though. How does this controlling the Avatar work? Like you said, their consciousness of the human drifts over to the Avatar? And
yeah, it's kind of funky. It's like their body remains in the same place, but their mind is in the Avatar.
And the Avatar has no mind of its own?
No. So once they get out of their link chamber to go do other stuff, the Avatar body just like collapses because no one is controlling it. So it's just like lying down there.
Okay. But if they weren't to do that, would the Avatar have a mind of its own?
No.
Oh.
Also, like, even though, like, for example, they still have to eat and take care of themselves as humans. So you would leave the link chamber and your Avatar is, like, you know, down. And you would go eat your food or whatever. And then you would come back and they'd come back to life.
This is so fascinating to imagine taking place.
Yes, it reminded me a bit, just like talking about subconscious, of Hard Boiled Wonderland and the End of the World.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Okay, sorry, continue on.
Okay, so he decides to go on the trip to Pandora, and it's a 6-year trip. So they're like in cryosleep for 6 years, and they wake up, and they're in Pandora. So basically, he's part of this mission to help gather intelligence on the Na'vi, because the RDA wants to figure out a way to get them to leave so they can get more unobtainium.
So horrible.
Yeah. He meets Grace Augustine, who's the head of the Avatar Project, and she really, really values like the Na'vi people and appreciates them, and she's against what the RDA is doing.
So why is she working for the RDA?
Because, like, she's hoping that her program, like, to get them to leave. Like, that she's kind of just doing what she can, which isn't much, but...
I see.
Yeah, and she's kind of disappointed because Jake's brother was very knowledgeable and very smart about Na'vi culture, but Jake doesn't know anything, so she was quite annoyed with him. And there's also Norm, who's also part of the project, and Norm has been preparing for this for a very long time. So he's also kind of like, oh, you don't know anything, what are you doing here? Because Norm can speak fluent Na'vi and stuff like that. Okay. And Jake doesn't speak any Na'vi, so it's kind of difficult. So anyways, this team, when they go out on their first mission, Jake, also I should mention, like, Jake, he's, like, really happy to be in his avatar because he can finally walk and run again. Like, he couldn't do it.
He was in a wheelchair before. Yeah.
So, like, he was really, really happy. But basically, when the team is out on their very first mission, his avatar gets attacked by this beast.
Oh.
And the beast kind of separates him from his team, and then he's able to escape the beast, but he's all alone in Pandora with no one to help him.
Oh, that is a terrifying situation.
Yes. So basically, he ends up in some trouble because these wild dogs were attacking him, and he ends up, like, you know, trying to defend himself, but then he gets saved.
By Na'vi?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know her name?
No.
Her name is Neytiri.
I think I've heard of her.
Yes. Yeah. And she was initially, like, trying to shoot a bow at, and like an arrow at him, but then there was a sign from Awa. There's this little white seed thing that landed on his head or something, and she was like, wow, okay, I can't kill him because Awa is trying to give me a sign.
Oh.
So she takes him back to her her clan.
Oh.
And we learned that she's kind of she's the daughter of what I was telling you earlier, like the clan leader and the spiritual leader. She's their daughter, so she's meant to be the next
leader
of the clan. She's betrothed to this other man named Su-Tet, who's going to be the next leader of the clan.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're the leader of the clan is like, oh, Jake Sully. I'm like, sorry, like, who are you? And he's like, I'm Jake Sully. And he's like, oh, what clan? And he's like, oh, the Jarhead clan. And
what does he, like, is he making that up? Or is that a real clan?
He is making that up.
Oh, okay.
And then Jake Sully, he's like, okay, Jake, I guess because Awa has told us we need to trust you, I guess you can stay with us for now, and my daughter Neytiri will teach you our ways and how to become one of us.
Wait, I have another question.
Yeah.
So the Avatar, you said they have less exaggerated, I guess, features of the Na'vi, so they don't have the tail, or they do?
No, they do have all those features. I think just facial wise.
Oh.
The Avatars look kind of different than the other ones.
So then couldn't they tell that he was an Avatar and not a Na'vi?
Oh, sorry. They, like, knew he was an Avatar.
Oh,
but because, yeah, and, like, they called them all Sky People, like, humans and Avatars. They called them Sky People. They were like, oh, but, like, they knew, but they thought because Awa sent a sign, they were like, okay, maybe he's different than the other Sky People. Maybe we can teach him our ways.
Then why do they think he was in a clan? Like, wouldn't Avatars not be in a clan?
Maybe they thought he was in... That's a great question, actually.
I'm just very confused.
Maybe they thought he was in, like, a Sky People clan. Well, it's a good question.
I see. Okay.
So, yeah. And then, I think at the end of the day, he falls asleep and he wakes up in his human body back at the compound.
Oh.
So then he can, like, kind of reunite with everyone and tell them, like, what happened.
Right, so when he falls asleep, he goes back?
Yeah.
Oh, this is so interesting.
I know. And then he, they're like, oh my god, you were able to get an in with the clan leader and the clan? And that's, like, that's so excellent. But this guy, Colonel Miles Quaritch, he's the head of the RDA security force. And he tells Jake if he can give him lots of intel about the Na'vi and where they live, he'll give him the very expensive surgery to fix his spine and give him his walking abilities again.
Oh, okay.
And basically the reason why is most particularly because, like, there is, okay, so there's this thing called home tree, and all the Na'vi of the Ometikai, they live, like, this tree is, like, their gathering place and where they store their memories and their homes for many generations. But under the tree is this very large supply of unobtainium. So the RDA is, like, trying to destroy the tree to get the unobtainium under.
Uh-huh.
So the Miles Quaritch, he was telling Jake Like, I need you to give me intel so we can see what can make them leave their home tree so we can get the unobtainium.
That's so horrible.
Yes.
Wait, what is the unobtainium used for again?
It's like an energy supply because there's no resources left on Earth. So this is kind of what they're using.
So because they ran out all the resources, they're taking them. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and so then he's, like, bonding a lot with the culture because Neytiri's teaching him about their ways. And he's like, wow, you guys are so, so incredible and so on. And he actually learns some lore. So Grace Augustine, the one in charge of the program, it turns out that she was actually teaching Na'vi children for 10 years, and including Neytiri and her sister. But after Neytiri's sister tried to, break apart this bulldozer, the RDA shot her, and so the clan exiled Grace and, other Sky people, and they never forgave them because of that.
That's so sad.
I know. But then Jake is, he convinces them because the clan is, liking him. And however, once Grace learns that he is secretly giving this information to Miles Quaritch, she's like, no, we're not doing this. So she makes them go somewhere else, so he can't talk to Miles Quaritch anymore.
Oh, so she separates them.
Yeah.
And right now he's in his human form?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
You're kind of in, both at once.
Wait, he can be in both at once?
Not at once, sorry, that was bad wording. But he's only really, he's always in a human form, but his subconscious is just transferred between the two.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is very, Freudian.
Yeah. But yeah, he initiation to become a full member of the tribe, which is what I was telling you earlier, where you have to fight against this Ikran, the dragon thing, and then he wins and he gets to connect their tendrils.
Oh.
And this shows he becomes a full-fledged member of the tribe.
Oh, okay. And does he want to, or is he still doing it at this point just to get an in?
No, he's really developed a cult, an appreciation for the culture and for the people, and he falls in love with Neytiri.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And then they mate. But this is quite bad because he's already betrothed to the guy I was telling you earlier, Sute.
Uh-huh.
So when they come back, and they're all like, what? You're breaking the sacred rituals of the tribe. But then also, basically, after they wake up, Jake tries to destroy this bulldozer because it was trying to run over the lands. And then they recognize that it was Jake, and they were like, oh my god, Jake is turning against us, the RDA, to help them. So then the head of the RDA, he's like, okay, we need to destroy the home tree. Clearly this man shows that there's no point, it's not worth it. But Grace is able to convince him to give them 1 hour to tell the Na'vi to leave the home tree, so at least they won't die. However, the clan is very mad that Jake and Neytiri are together, and they're also mad because they revealed they were spies for the RDA, so they don't trust them, so they're like, no, we're going to stay here. So they just tie Jake and Grace up, on a pole, and they come and destroy the home tree, and it's, burning, and there's fire burning. And Neytiri's dad, the clan leader, he, gets, he dies.
Oh, no, in the fire?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. And at what part of the movie is that, the middle or near the end?
This is kind of near the end.
Mm.
And then, basically, Neytiri's mom, she frees Jake and Grace from their poles, but then their human forms are taken away from their link chambers, so their avatar forms are, not conscious. Does that make sense?
Kind of.
So, they were taken away from their chambers because Quaritch is imprisoning them. They're in their human form.
Okay, yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
And then this pilot, Trudy, who is their friend, she comes in and she helps them escape. And she helps them get back into a link chamber. But as they're escaping, Grace gets shot and is fatally wounded.
Oh no.
So once they come back in their avatar forms, Jake goes and he finds this thing called the Toruk, which is this large flying animal, and in Na'vi legend only 5 others before him were able to bond with the Toruk because it's very fierce. So once he bonded with it, he became known as Toruk Makto, which is a very revered figure because he was able to bond with such a difficult and notable species. So then all the Na'vi kind of forgave him for his betrayal because they're like, wow, you were able to prove your loyalty to us.
What about the girl?
Which one?
The the next leader.
Oh, yes, Neytiri, yes. She also was like...
Okay, yeah.
But then, because Grizz got shot, they were trying to see if they can transfer her consciousness permanently from her human body to her avatar body.
Okay.
But it didn't work.
Wait, she has an avatar body too?
Yes, yeah, sorry, I should have specified that. She also has an avatar body.
Do they all have avatar bodies at the RDA?
No, just three of them.
Oh. Okay.
Well, there's more, but like this was like the main team.
How do they pick who gets an avatar body?
I think it's just like you have to apply, and if you're qualified, like it's like many years of preparation.
Okay.
Like with Norm, he spent many years learning the language and the culture. But then Jake, he just got to do it because of his brother, you know?
Yeah, I see.
But yeah, but it's too late. So Grace also dies. But right before she dies, she tells Jake, Jake, I can feel Ewa. Like, I'm with her now. So don't give up, you know? And then she passes away. And then Jake has to make a little plan because Forge is planning to destroy the home tree. Mm-hmm. Sorry, the tree of souls. Which is where Ewa is. So it's like a very sacred for them. If they were to destroy her, it would be like the end of it all. However, the Na'vi come as he's trying to destroy it with his spaceships. And they start like attacking him. And at first it seemed like pretty good. Like both sides were losing people. But then it was kind of bad. Because the humans were kind of winning. However, then the wildlife, like the animals and stuff, they started to attack. And it was kind of seemingly being like Ewa. She was trying to help them against the invaders. So she was sending in the animals to attack them. And they destroy the fleet. However, Colonel Quaritch, he gets into this little, like, machine thing. And he's like, you know Transformers?
No.
Okay, I'm trying to think of what I can compare to this. He kind of got into a robot suit.
Okay.
And he started fighting Jake in his robot suit.
Oh, okay. Wait, like Iron Man?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're fighting for a bit, and Neytiri shoots him in the chest, and he's, like, you know, gone.
Okay.
But, in the process of fighting, Quaritch kind of destroys Jake's little chamber, so his human body's exposed to the toxic environment.
Oh, no.
And, like, the toxic air I was telling you about.
Oh, no, then what happens?
So then, Neytiri has to come in and find one of the masks to give him life. So she kind of, like, saves his life from dying from the toxins of the air.
That's great.
Yes. So basically, after Miles Quaritch is gone and most of the RDA has been defeated, they force most of them to go back to Earth. And only a couple are allowed to stay, like the people who were supporting the Na'vi and their cause. And everyone else had to go home. And then, basically, Jake, they do like a little ceremony kind of they did with Grace to transfer his consciousness permanently from his human body to his avatar body.
Okay.
And they it works.
Then what happens to his human body? Is it no longer, like, does he die in his human body?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, it's kind of scary.
I know, and I wonder what they did with the body after. Did they bury it?
Wow.
But the movie ends with him opening his eyes in his new form, and that's where the very iconic movie poster comes from.
Oh, I don't really know it, to be honest.
Oh, sorry, do you want me to show you?
Yeah.
Okay, so, this is the first movie. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
Well, like I said, I think that this is a very, like, intricate, detailed plot, so I appreciate that they put all this time into, you know, developing the details. I think, I would be very infuriated with the RDA, is that the name? While watching the movie, so, like, the antagonist, right? And, I'm glad that at least Jake, he found the newfound appreciation for the culture and language of the Na'vi. Does he end up learning the language as well?
Yes, sorry, forgot to mention, he ends up learning the language. He makes a little speech in the language because he learns so much.
How does he learn it? Like, just, how does this work?
I think Neytiri, she taught him, like, it was her job to teach him their culture and their traditions.
Wow.
But, I think, like, he was still kind of, because he never spoke any of it before, he was still kind of slow at learning it.
Well, like, any language, that
makes
sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The colonel, but he was, while you were explaining, I could just imagine myself hating him in every second of the movie.
Yes, he's very, very easy to hate.
I feel bad for Grace.
Yeah, she gave up so much.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, now I'm imagining, like, watching the movie, I'm kind of gonna know what's going to happen. But I still need to watch it because, you know, obviously it's such a big, important movie. Is this the one where a lot of people cried?
This one, that was the second one. We're gonna get to that.
Okay, I see.
I mean, I feel like, I mean, you could also cry during this one, but I feel like the second one is really where the tearjerker is.
Mm-hmm. And that was the one that was kind of recently released.
Yes, in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it in theaters, and oh my gosh, at the end, I was just so speechless. I was like, wow.
Wow.
How can I move on from this?
I'm excited for you to explain it then.
Yeah, so I'm a bit sad now, but I have to... Do you want me not to spoil the
big part? Yeah, I think you should not.
Okay, so I won't spoil the big part, but I'll tell you other things.
Okay.
So, basically, this one, it does a time jump of, like, I think, like, 10 or 12 years. But basically, Jake, he is now, like, the leader of the clan. And he and Neytiri have many men and children together. First, they have Natam, he's their oldest son. Then Loak, their second son. Then Tuktire, their daughter. Then, this is, like, really funky, but basically, Grace, you know how Grace's avatar, like, she died and then her avatar was just kind of... Okay, so her avatar kind of gave birth to another version of herself.
What? How does that happen?
You know how, like, some... You know how, like, some, there are creatures who are, like... What is the word? Like, they have kids with themselves. Like, snakes.
Yeah.
I forgot what they're called.
I forgot as well, but I know what you mean.
So it did that. So it's like 100% her own DNA.
God, this is so interesting. We've learned about this in biology, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
But so the thing that was born out of...
Well, I thought that when Grace died, the avatar would also be in like in a permanent state of rest.
Yeah, but somehow...
It keeps moving?
No, but it doesn't move. But it just like... I don't know, it just, like, gave birth to a baby.
Okay, I see. This is a bit freaky, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of agree. So the baby's name is Kiri, and Jake adopts her, so he's kind of, like... But Kiri's, like, because 100% of her DNA is Grace, she looks exactly like her in avatar form, and her voice actress is the same one who played Grace.
Oh. Okay.
So she sounds... a lot, like, older than her age.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, they adopted her. And then also, he's kind of not really part of the family, but, like, there's this guy named Miles. They all call him Spider. And he's the son of Miles Quaritch, the one from the other
movie. The Colonel?
Yeah. Because they weren't able to take him back to Earth because he was so young.
Oh.
But he isn't, like... I wouldn't say he's really considered a son to Jake. Like, they keep him around, kind of. And he spends a lot of time with their kids. But I wouldn't really see them as, like, it's, like, so-so.
Uh-huh.
Spider is, like, he hates being human. And he's always trying to be Na'vi. And he's trying to do, like, the hissy thing they do. But he can't really do it because he's a human. And he's always has, like, paint on him to match their markings that they have.
I see.
Yeah. And he's always wearing, like, the thing to allow him to breathe, like, the mask. So
he needs it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, they're pretty happy, but then one day, the RDA comes back with all their ships.
Oh, my God.
And they start, like, you know, going back to their, you know, their conquesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, the Ometekaya, they have to, like, go back from the forest to go to this, like, area in the Hallelujah Mountains. Like, they have to go to mountainous areas to stay safe from all the burning and the death that the RDA is doing. So then, basically, Yes. Sorry, I forgot. Okay. So, this is kind of weird, but basically the RDA decided to make more avatars.
Okay.
And it turns out that Miles Quaritch was able to be cloned into an avatar. So he's, like, kind of alive again.
Okay. This is kind of crazy.
But yeah, like, he...
Does he have a consciousness? Like, the avatar?
Not on its own, but with Quaritch's, like, spirit yet.
But he's dead. He's this is like a spirit.
It's like they just cloned him.
But okay.
That's actually a fantastic question. They don't really explain it that well, to be honest. He just kind of comes back, and he and his team, and they're all in Avatar's bodies, I guess?
They have such advanced technology.
I agree. However, this Korch clone, he has, like, memory loss. So, he doesn't remember how he died. He just remembers that he hates Jake.
Oh, I see. That's kind of funny.
I agree. Yes. Oh yes. Yeah, so also, something else kind of freaky happened. But basically, after Grace's avatar died, they like took her body and put it back into the tank. So even though it's not alive, anyone can just come in and look at the avatar.
Oh, that is creepy.
So sometimes Kiri comes by and just looks at her mom.
Oh. Okay.
But yeah, we learned about a lot of their dynamics. Like, Jake is very hard on Nateem and Lila because he's very worried about their safety and stuff. But they're also always trying to impress him. So it's very hard for them.
Mm-hmm.
But then, basically, the Jake's kids, they're like playing around and stuff. But then they end up coming into contact with Korch and his little team of avatars, and they end up like kidnapping his kids.
Oh
yeah. And basically, once they do, they have to get their kids back. However, once Jake and Interior come and get their kids back, Korch takes Spider and like kidnaps him, and then they're trying to kind of torture Spider for information, but Spider isn't telling them anything. And Korch is like, oh, Spider, like, I know, like, I'm kind of your dad and whatever.
Okay, that's kind of funny. Yeah, you said it.
Yeah. Yeah. And Spider decides to help him, but he's, like, very unwilling, and he really, like, hates it.
Oh, he does help him.
Yeah, like, very unwillingly.
Oh.
However, Jake realizes also, like, while he's away, he's like, oh, Spider can teleport a lot. We need to, like, go away. So he and Neytiri and all their kids decide to leave their home in the forest. Mm-hmm. And go somewhere else. They're going to go to the Met Kaina clan in the water, and they're going to go hide there from Korch.
And they're just going to leave Spider there?
Yeah.
Wait, that's kind of sad.
I know. But Neytiri really doesn't like Spider, so she was kind of happy to leave him.
Wait, is it because he's human?
Yeah, she's like, oh, these humans, like, they're up to no good. No human should be friends with my kids.
Oh.
So they end up going to the Met Kaina clan, and they're water Na'vi, and they ask to seek refuge there. And this is a fun fact. So the chief and his partner, the partner is played by, what's her name? Oh, that partner is played by,
what's her name?
The girl who played Rose in Titanic. Kate Winslet.
Oh.
She plays the chief's, the partner of the chief.
Oh wow.
So that's Kate Winslet.
Oh my gosh, I see.
Yeah, so basically this is kind of basically now the entire family gets to adapt to living amongst the water Na'vi, who have a different way of life. And it's kind of sad because they have thin tails and they don't really have like webbed.
Oh, they don't have like the features, yeah. Like the adaptations.
So the other water people, they kind of make fun of them. And they're like, wow, you can't do anything, can you?
Oh, I see.
And it's really hard for them to come and do that, but they're slowly coming to realize it. And then also Loak, he feels very much like an outsider, and he feels like he can never live up to his older brother, and he's very angsty, like he's always brooding off somewhere. He meets Siraya, and Siraya is the daughter of the chief and his wife, so they form a little bond as well. And Jake and Neytiri are trying to come up with, like, the skills, bonding with the animals. Like, you know how they have their flying things?
Mm-hmm.
They also have their own little sea things that they can bond with. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And basically, Loak, he decides to, all like, on a dare, to go on a very faraway island and, like, swim there on his little thing. And it's actually the hunting territory of this one little, that's, like, little, not little, it's, like, whale-like thing. and he ends up being in very big trouble because he's getting attacked by something, but he gets saved by the Tulkin, the whale-like thing. And the Manticani, they consider these Tulkins like very sacred and very spiritual. And he notices that the one that saved him, he got hurt by humans and he's missing a fin. So this poor thing got like hurt by the humans. And he decides to become friends with the little whale thing. So now they're friends.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yes, it is. And then back at the camp, you know Kiri?
Yeah.
So she has a very strong connection with Awa because she was kind of born in a very strange way. So that was kind of facilitated by Awa. So she has like little visions and stuff like that because of her very, very strong connection.
Visions of like the future?
Kind of. Like visions of like spirits and about all of that. And then basically Loak learns about the little whale that saved him. This is actually a whale that was cast out from his whale group because he murdered someone.
The whale?
Yeah.
Oh no.
But then Loak is like, oh my god, he's an outsider like me. He's very angsty, as you can tell. And then also, basically, they go to see their spirit tree, which is kind of like their own spirit tree, where they can connect with Awa and talk to her. And then, basically, I should mention that the humans, they now do this thing where they're like, they're taking the whales and they're harvesting them for plasma.
The humans are just doing everything.
I know!
Like, every single possible bad deed.
Yeah! But yeah. And then also, Quartz, he's just kind of like burning a bunch of villages, and Spider's like, Dad, like, please don't, or whatever, but it's not really doing anything.
Oh. Okay. But he helped him.
Yeah.
I see.
Spider is very debated amongst the fans. There are many who like him, many who don't. Do you want to guess which side I am on?
You're not.
Not. But there's like things I cannot tell you for why I truly do not like him.
Oh, okay.
So anyways, Loak is like, oh my god, why is my little whale an outcast? Like, he can't have possibly done this. And then he does like the little like the tendril thing.
Yeah.
And then he like, the whale shares his memories. So basically it's because the whale, these like whales, they're very peaceful and they don't do anything. But one of the RDA, they came and they killed this whale's mother. And then he like decided to murder because the RDA, like, they killed his mom.
To murder the RDA person who killed his mom?
I think so, yeah.
Oh.
So then they outcast him because they're like, oh, you can't, like, kill. Like, that's against their ways.
Aw, the poor whale.
I know. So Loak is like, oh my god, no one understands me either. We're like, you know, we're the same.
I see.
Yeah. And, blah blah blah. Okay. So once Manicania learned that the humans killed a lot of their whales, they became very, very mad. And they're like, okay, we're gonna go to war with them. And so now they're trying to get ready to do it. But also Loak is like, oh my god. So then basically Loak takes his siblings and his friends to go find this little whale because he got attacked by the humans and that can like track him.
Mm-hmm.
However, they manage to free him, but Quartz sees them and starts like chasing them, you know?
Oh my gosh.
And then basically they get captured by the humans. Three of them do. Loak, Siraya, and Chuk-Tiri are captured by the humans. And then when Jake and Neytiri see what's happening, they see their kids, like, cuffed to the deck. So, basically, Jake is like, you know what? This battle is between me and Quartz. Like, no one else. This only issue is with me. So if I surrender myself, like, this will, like, save everyone.
But it doesn't.
No.
Yeah.
So he's, like, trying to go do that. But, yeah. So then once the little whale sees Loak, like, in prison, he tries to go and, like, save him.
Whale.
Yes, and he like kills people with his like
the whale again.
Yeah. And, like, he didn't get shot at, but he, like, deflects the shot with his, like, fins or whatever. And he kills the person who shot him. Anyway, it's, like, a war between the Na'vi people, and they're, like, shooting arrows or whatever. And the humans who are, like, shooting them back. And then, basically, Kiri, remember how I said she had a bond with Ewa?
Yeah.
She's like, Ewa, I need your help. So she's, like, using her bond. She can start controlling the plants in the water.
Oh, wow.
Like, against the attackers and, like, choke them to death.
That's so cool.
I know.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, again, the little whale is just, like, hitting the boat with his tail and killing them.
I can't imagine this little whale doing that.
I should have said little. He's quite big, but he's, oh, like, cute. Like, yeah, a big little whale.
Yeah, I'm imagining a cute whale.
Yeah. And then Spider is, like, he's also captured. He's, like, no, like, I need to get away. Like, let me free or whatever.
What is that?
Like, he's also kind of captured, I guess. So, anyways, Nathaim comes. He's able to free the ones who are captured. However, Spider and Kiri are still unsafe. And the kids, it's just very confusing. Like, they're all trying to fight. They're all fighting words. Like, everything is happening. And then, basically, yeah, something happens that, like, this is what made me cry. I was like, oh, nothing is, but I'm not going to tell you what. But okay. It was very tragic.
I see.
But Jake, he's like, okay, I need to face Korch once and for all, especially because of what just happened. Like, I feel so angry. So, and also he learns that he still has Jake's daughters. So Jake and Neytiri, they end up, like, coming and onto the ship. And they start, like, killing, you know, all the people there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're able to free their daughters. And then Jake and Korch are, again, like, in a one-to-one fist fight. And this is a really cool fight. I was really stressed during this fight. I was like, oh my gosh, this is quite stressful. And then, however, basically what happens is that once Jake gets two of his kids, Korch, he, like, takes Kiri and he's like, okay, if you move one more, I'm gonna slice her. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But then Nichiro's like, oh yeah? But she grabs Spider and she's like, okay. And I'm sure she's happy to, like, you know. So she's like, okay, I can hurt him as well. And at first, Korch is like, oh, I don't care about my son. Like, you can just do that. Who cares?
Oh.
But then he ends up, like, actually doing it because Neytiri kind of hurts Spider a little bit. She's like, you don't think I'm capable? I'm very capable.
I think she sure she is.
Yeah. And so then they start fighting again. And then Jake, they're, like, fighting in the water. It's, like, quite scary. And then Jake strangles Korch until he's unconscious. However, Jake also almost drowns. But then he gets saved by Loak and his little whale.
Aww.
And then Kiri is like, okay, Ewa, I need, like, more stuff. And she summons, like, squids to come.
I see. Okay.
And the squids help them, like, escape and take the family to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Then Spider, he finds Korch. And Korch is, like, kind of, you know.
Defeated?
Defeated. But he's like, okay, Korch, I'm gonna help you. And then he's like, okay, Dad, let me help you. And he helps and, like, he brings him up to the surface so he doesn't die. He, like, can come back to life. And he's like, Spider, come with me. And Spider's like, no, it's okay. And then he just skips off back to the silly family. And he doesn't tell anyone either that he did this, that he saved his dad's life. And he's literally the reason why all these horrible things are gonna happen probably later on.
Wait, so there's an Avatar 3 coming?
I think there's 5 Avatar movies being planned.
Oh my god. Wait, that's so much.
Yes, 5 or 6, I think.
Oh.
The next one is supposed to come out this December. Sorry, next year in December.
Oh, okay. Wow. Then, wow, so Korch is probably going to be up to no good again.
Definitely.
And also, it's all because of Spider.
Yeah. Do you realize why I do not like him?
Yeah, I agree. No, but also, he's his dad, so I feel like, you know, there's something there he just can't forget about.
So basically at the end, Jake is like, okay guys, I'm gonna leave the reef people. I've overstayed my welcome, like, it's time for us to go. But then they're like, no, 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 you're one of us, you should stay. So Jake's like, okay, we're going to stay here now. This kind of bothered me because I don't see why they couldn't go back to their forest home.
Yeah.
And I always thought that the sea thing was, like, temporary, you know, and they would go back to their people. So I don't really know why they're staying. Like, what reason do they have to stay?
And also, well, they're not adapted to the environment,
yeah,
like, the climate either, right?
I guess, but they do kind of have reasons to stay, but, like, But yeah. And Jake, then he has like a very big speech about like what is fatherhood. You know, like a true father, he like fights, you know? And a father is always ready to protect his family. And that's the end of the movie.
Wow. I'm very like curious as to see what is the big like tear moment.
It's gonna break your heart.
I'm very sure it will. Oh, both these movies sound like very interesting. Like I was trying to imagine while you were saying it, and I feel like I'm sure like the actual movie itself it's gonna be very wonderful to see.
Yeah, the lore is really fascinating. I
Yeah.
think just learning about their culture and their planet is so cool.
I feel like I could also draw some parallels between like Avatar: The Last Airbender and like, Avatar: The Movie plot.
You should expand on this.
Well, I don't want to say too much since I'm going to be explaining it later, but like with I guess like one like population trying to wipe out another and you know push them to move and like the different cultures too. Like there's a lot of parallels that can be there. That's pretty interesting.
That is really cool to see.
I feel like I'm so behind with this Avatar movie.
It's
Or.
okay. You will be on time for the third movie to come out.
Yeah. I'm gonna watch it very soon now. Actually, it's winter break. I'm gonna do it like tomorrow.
Oh my gosh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this is very okay. I think also, I didn't really talk about this earlier, but my favorite thing is from just how beautiful these movies are. Like, the first movie is quite beautiful. I know for its time it was revolutionary, but the second movie, oh my gosh, everything was so gorgeous. The water, the animals, the plants, and the people, everything was so beautiful. And the CGI they did, it was so incredible. Everything just looked
Yeah.
so wonderful. And I was like, wow, I really wish I could go live on Pandora instead of here.
You would have loved the Disney World Pandora, I think. Because that was like one of the highlights of the trip for me.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah. Like the boat ride, where you were talking about the bioluminescence, right? And I think, yeah, that showed it a lot. It's very nice. Oh, yeah. I wish we could see something like this in real life.
Me too. I guess we kind of do, but not to that extent.
Yeah.
We're kind of destroying it anyways.
Yeah. All these movies have very good messages, I think, that should be heard more. But yeah, thank you for explaining to me.
Thank you for agreeing to this. I'm excited to do our reversal with Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Yes, this concept is really, really funny, but I like it.
I agree. I'm kind of glad my time is over because I was talking so much.
Okay then.
Thank
Thank you.
you.